I want to introduce you to our amazing panel today. First and foremost, we have my man, Damian Easter.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, man?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well.
Okay, Damian Easter is the young adults pastor at
the Jordan. Woo woo. Let's go. Let's go.
The Jordan at North Coast Church. Yes, we had Chris Brown on, Pastor Chris Brown. This is one of the dopest, and can I say one of the biggest young adults ministries in the country?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to
humbly?
You. That's it. No. And we got my guy. I've known this man longer than you.
Yes.
We
yes.
have Mr. Andrew Pofer in the house.
What's happening? Man. Dude, I'm a big fan. I saw on the chat there someone doing dishes right now while watching. That's what I do with the show, too.
Do you so really?
Thank you for getting me through my chores.
You're here.
You keep me sane during
all
the sad work.
And you're not doing chores right now, but you're here. Andrew Pofer leads worship at the Jordan.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of issues happening with young adults. Yes, there's I feel like adolescence keeps being pushed out. I was at a church and their young adults ministry was 18 to 30. Okay. The church will remain nameless to protect the innocent. But there's this adolescence getting pushed out. There's a higher financial burden in terms of just living in most places, but specifically Southern California.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the stuff that's on the internet, the hyper materialistic version that we're seeing kind of preached on men. We're seeing a lot of body positivity, sex positivity, hookup culture, just so many different directions. So I want to get into some of that with you guys and what you guys are doing on the front line. What are, in terms of where you guys are watching and from the vantage point of leading, what would you guys say are some of the biggest issues that has young adults in crisis in this climate that maybe is a little different than when we were growing up, you know, because we're all approximately about the same age. I'm 38. Yeah. You're a little older than me.
I'm 41.
You're 41. 40. Yeah. So you guys, we're all about approximately the same age. I'll be 39 this year.
Yeah.
What are some challenges that you guys are seeing dealing, pastoring, counseling young adults that are different than the issues we grew up with?
Oh, man. I would say that one of the big things is the idea of like being a part of a community that is on like a social media community, mm-hmm. when you really don't have like that real community, mm-hmm. that's face to face, that those people that are with you, talking with you. I mean, you know, back in the day, I'm a little older, but like there was a time when you knew whose house everybody was at because the bikes were in the front of mm-hmm. this person's yard. You yep. know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, so the, like the face to face, it's really easy to isolate nowadays, but to feel like oh, these are my people, but it's real easy to isolate. And I think that has been like something that has been really hard.
Yeah. Probably more so post-pandemic too. Like that probably did a huge number.
Yeah.
Because people were able to just kind of hide in their shallows and in their hide in their silos and hide in a virtual community.
Yeah.
Which has its benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness, like it's amazing that I could be friends with people and talk to them regularly and have some degree of connection that live in other states. Like that's awesome. But to your point, there's nothing like that in-person mm-hmm. community. And this is a broader issue, I think, of Gen Zers, Zoomers, and where they are with church attendance as a whole, right? In that 18 to 25, there's a huge dip of folks that just kind of check out from church.
Yeah.
And then they come back in their late 20s when they get married. They tend to come back to church. And so you would pinpoint it that you think the virtual aspect makes it even harder for people to plug into community.
Yeah. Because you can feel like you're connected, but mm-hmm. then you just turn off that device and nothing else is there. You don't have that connection
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that. Like, the idea of having a global perspective mm-hmm. wasn't something that I ever thought of when I was an adolescent mm-hmm. or becoming a teenager. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of a cell phone and social media, I just had to worry about my, you know, five friends and the high school I went to. Mm-hmm. And so I think so many people are walking into, what does the world think of me? Mm. Like what does the whole globe
wow.
consider me? And am yeah. I doing enough to be seen or mm-hmm. heard? And so yeah. I think there's that. I mean, that's such a weight. That's such a burden yeah. that is brand new to a culture that
yes.
that I feel called to minister to yeah. and to like let them know that Jesus sees them perfectly as they actually are, mm-hmm. not by yeah. who they are putting in front
yeah.
of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
Yeah, I think that I love that aspect of it because I think one of the things that young adults, grown adults in this season want to have is a safe space to bring that reality to. Mm-hmm. Like this reality that I'm projecting out here, mm-hmm. is there a place where I can bring the reality of the depression that I'm experiencing, the realities that come along with that weight of mm-hmm. the world, mm-hmm. like a safe space to actually bring that, process that? Because so often and so long, church is this spot where we look. You have to get yourself ready for God to see you mm-hmm. or for God to desire you. I have to fix myself up for to be ready for God.
Interesting.
And it's just like, just how you are, just as you are, mm-hmm. God meets you right in that place.
Come on.
And so that is, I think that's the kind of space that we're trying to create at the Jordan. Yeah. That's one of those spaces that we mm-hmm. try to, we're a big ministry
yeah.
and we try to take that bigness. So, you know, we take that bigness and try to make it small and yeah. try to go deep. Yeah.
How many attend on average? Like if someone were to pull up Thursday night to North Coast Church to check out the J, how many people would you say is on average Thursday night?
Probably 250 to 300.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot Thursday. Of people. But I feel like sometimes that could be enough people where you don't have to walk into a small Bible study and everybody does this and goes, who's the new guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. there's a degree of being able to be a bit ambiguous as you're stepping back into community. I think it's an interesting challenge because I remember the world before social media. Mm. I remember the world really before the internet, but like specifically before social media and before smartphones were a thing. And I sometimes don't understand like the degree of impact that has on people that they're just different challenges. You know, they're just different challenges where I would say, from my vantage point, like I have a real life with real friends and real people that I get to see all the time.
Yeah.
And then I have like this thing on the internet. But for a lot of people, it's inverted. Their thing on the internet is their life. And then there's, oh, I guess like Ruslan keeps saying, like, I should go to church. I guess I should like go to church. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so it's like yeah. it's like inverted, and it's actually very interesting, you know. Yeah. And I'm curious, like, what the impacts are going to be on folks long term, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I think church, you know, maybe talent went a long way for a lot of communities and like the generations back, but I think truth and transparency is now the thing that our leaders are being measured by.
Yeah.
You know, like I think millennials wanted to know where their eggs come from, mm-hmm. but now this generation is like, who was the one? Who's the farmer? I want to know his story. I want to give me the eggs, but I want to know if he's on the level.
Yeah,
and so I think is he on the level?
In that context,
yes.
we have a like a responsibility in ministry to model vulnerability.
Yeah.
I think authenticity has become like a buzzword and even a catchphrase mm-hmm. in church, and mm-hmm. saying people just want authenticity. It's like, well, if you're not gonna model that from the stage, if you're not gonna be vulnerable mm-hmm. and actually let people affect you, mm-hmm. I think we can insulate ourselves from the people that we serve, which is not community.
Yeah.
That's like talent in a stage.
Mm. Yeah.
But community is where you allow yourself to be impacted by mm-hmm. the people that you're with and that you're doing community with.
Yeah.
And to let them know when you're feeling weak and to let them know when you need help, when you need them to be somebody to help carry you.
Yeah.
So I think modeling that creates an environment where people do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How about dating in terms of you got a bunch of folks that are 18 to 25, hormones are on blast. Many of them aren't in financial situations to get married.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all show up to the J and they're like, oh, there's some pretty girls here.
It's cracking.
You know what I mean? How has it been that navigating that aspect of it, like as ministry leaders?
For me, the conversations, because I have had young men that are like, after a sermon, they walk up to me and be like, you know, the Lord just got my heart because I've really wanted a girlfriend mm-hmm. in this season. So it's been interesting kind of having the opportunity to refocus people on Jesus as the source of their help.
Yeah.
You know, as the source of their hope.
Yeah.
In their dating life.
Yeah.
Like making Jesus that practical.
Yes.
Like he is available in your singleness.
Yep.
And discovering him more and more in your singleness. So that's been a fun little journey that I've had the opportunity to talk to some of the young men with. It's just redirecting them to Christ.
Yeah.
And the reality of Christ where they are, and not shaming what they're feeling, like not making them feel ashamed for like being like, okay, they worshiping over there. Hey, you know, not feeling ashamed, but also understanding and knowing like, Jesus is available in the midst of that. Mm. You know, that's been huge.
Yeah.
That's
I think the caveat of wolves like come in and seeking to destroy.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know,
oh yeah.
Like that, you know, cast those out, find those guys an exit plan, let them know Jesus loves them on their way out.
Get up out of here.
If they're there just to destroy. But I think like that idea of like, where are people meeting people?
Yeah.
Are they meeting them through apps? Are they meeting them in bars? Or are they meeting them at church?
Yep.
Like,
come on.
That common language of what happened at church. Like, what did the guy talk about?
Yes.
What, you know, and so I think there's something very, very special about meeting a spouse at a religious environment, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Guys, we're going to continue this conversation. First, I got to show you something interesting. Hey, you want to see something crazy? Over 50% of the people who watch this channel are not subscribed. And out of the people that are subscribed, less than 10% actually have their bell notification on. So do me a solid. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure the bell notification is turned on so you don't miss anything we got going here. All right? Peace. Smash that like button as well. I am here with Pastor Damian Easter and Pofer, Pastor Andrew Pofer. We call you Pastor and Andrew Pofer as well, right?
You're a worship pastor. Can I call you Batman?
You can't.
No, you can't.
You cannot call me Batman. Have you guys ever dealt with folks serving together or just at the J, which to your point, great place to meet someone, right?
Yeah.
If you're not meeting somebody on Tinder, you're not. And I know quite a few people that have met at the Jordan and got married. So shout out to, you know, the Jordan. But where it sometimes gets weird, where someone's like telling someone that like God told them that they were their girlfriend or God told them they were supposed to date. And how do you navigate that?
It takes two to tango. Is he telling both parties?
Exactly. The Lord speaking to you. He ain't spoke to me yet. I mean, like, that's real right there.
Yep.
That is real right there. I think a reality of community is, I don't want to paint this picture of community as like, hey, it's just going to be amazing. You're going to be blessed the whole time.
Yep.
Community's ugly.
Yep.
Like, there's opportunity to really grow in community and be blessed in community. But my goodness, when you're vulnerable in community, you can really be hurt in community.
Mm.
That's the reality of community.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had 12 that rocked with him, one betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the reality of community.
Yeah.
It could be the greatest place to build you up, greatest place that can also tear you down.
Yeah.
But it's valuable and it is absolutely important.
Yeah.
And it's in community where I've learned to hear the voice of God, to discern God's voice more as I'm reading the scriptures and then going and hearing what's God speaking to my friend.
Yeah.
So like, I would say with that situation where it's like the Lord told me and you, they're like, we meant to be, girl, it's destiny. I mean, okay, where's that in the word?
Mm.
Like, let's go back to the other way, to the main way God's speaking to people.
Yeah.
You know, so like that accountability in community
is
a beautiful thing.
So what does that practically look like, though, with regards to folks dating each other or maybe folks that are serving and leadership dating each other and dating versus courting and all that whole like conversation within leading young adults, which is, again, a tough demographic.
Yeah. I will say accountability.
Accountability to who, though?
To the leaders.
Okay.
To leaders that, like, I've had people come to me and talk to me, and they're honest and open with me, and they're like, we're doing this, we're dating here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just another level of maturity, first and foremost. And just as I'll say this from a guy's perspective, from just my wife, mm-hmm. my wife is, she's a woman of God, mm-hmm. loves the Lord, yeah. like kicks devil butt. She wants me to lead our family. She mm-hmm. wants a man that can lead.
Amen.
And lead in the ways of God first.
Okay.
And I think for a young man to get men around him, people mm-hmm. that they can talk to around him,
yeah.
that's leadership that builds trust that then helps on that wedding night, hallelujah, mm-hmm. as you grow. Remember, we talked about it earlier. As you grow in your relationship, that type of trust is built. And I love that because that's something that is straight from my wife.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to see me lead us to the feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And practically speaking, it's being accountable to other men that are going to keep me accountable.
That's good.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does. So not just, hey, this is a fly meat market where you can meet someone, but like, hey, come get accountable here.
Mm, yes.
Develop yourself, become someone that is like physically, not just physically attractive, but like spiritually someone that wants to be in a relationship with,
yes.
someone of the opposite sex wants to be in a relationship. And in that process, like you, this would be a great place for you to potentially meet someone.
Yes.
So, you know, we've all gotten pretty good at like privatizing certain parts of our life from each other, you know, like VPN, NordVPN, people high in IP addresses, mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. you know, everybody knows how to hide mm-hmm. in a maybe more creative way than, you know, we could get away with more stuff back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's this idea and concept about vulnerability being attractive. Mm-hmm. When you encounter the living God, when you see who Jesus Whoa. Is,
mm-hmm.
we see how he loved the marginalized, how he caught the dishonest in lies, mm-hmm. and how he corrected the religious, corrected those who were putting up fronts, and uplifted those who were broken
yeah.
and came to him as they were.
Yeah.
And so when you encounter that Jesus, you know, and I feel like that's our job to like just shine a light on Jesus
mm-hmm.
and who he is and who the gospel tell
yep.
of who Jesus is, then there's something undeniable that yep. happens.
Yeah.
When that transformation begins, then accountability becomes second nature.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and so I think demanding accountability without having any kind of transformation
mm-hmm.
is backwards.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
I have a theory
yeah.
about why so many young adults aren't engaged in church. And by young adults, I'm specifically talking 18 to 25. Obviously, there's the reality of them being sent off to colleges. Sometimes they leave for school, new friends group, yada, 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 right? But oftentimes, and this is just a hypothesis, so I'm curious to hear what you guys think about it. They are often the least likely to contribute financially because they're in this weird in between high school, but not in a career phase. And so not all churches, but many churches mm-hmm. just don't prioritize hey, let's do a young adults ministry where we have a couple full-time employees dedicated that will make sure that there's solid theological teaching, that there's good worship, that there's leadership, right? And so then a lot of folks will fall through the cracks. They'll just not be engaged, and so they'll go out and they'll say, well, I'd rather just go join a fraternity. I'd rather just get my community elsewhere. Do you guys think that that's a reasonable hypothesis on why sometimes young adults aren't engaged?
I don't live in a vacuum. I know that North Coast Church and the Jordan young adult community is a unique story.
Right,
you know, like it's bizarre to have a young adult ministry. You know, we're almost in Bonzel, you know, mm-hmm. we're in Vista, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily known as a college town.
Yep.
There are surrounding colleges and, you know, we love the ministry that we get to do in that kind of aspect, you mm-hmm. know, but this is because I think our church has resourced it, has mm-hmm. put energy into it.
Yes.
You know, our teaching pastor and our lead pastor for our young adult ministry teaches on the weekend. Mm-hmm. He's just not in the midweeks. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've got full worship teams. We've got the tech ministry. Mm-hmm. Everything is rocking and rolling yep. as if it were a service on the weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it really seems like there's been fruit from that investment into young adults,
mm-hmm.
believing yeah. that dark spot in the trends inside of church ministry, where it's like, oh, this is when they fall away, and then they'll get kids, they'll get pregnant at 30 and figure somebody help me raise my kids, you know? And so I love that our church, that gap has been narrowed.
Yeah. And I would say it's felt culturally here. And this is what I mean. Like, I think around here, specifically Vista, Oceanside, San Marcos, I think because of the touch that the Jay has done for a decade plus now, but there's a lot of people that aren't checked out from their faith from 18 to 25, that they're still engaged in their faith. And a lot of them avoid many of the pitfalls that they go through if they were to just check out and go in the world for a season, right? Go take their sabbatical from the church, go in the world, while out. And those are formative years, you know? And so I think the fact that that's happening, I always point out that I know probably at least 100 couples that were married between the ages of 18 and 28 that love Jesus. Many of them were virgins and celibate and pure, and they've built amazing lives together. And and I think that a good handful of those came out of the J, came out of the J, and or where proximity impacted, like in terms of the ethos of this region is just different. Like if you go to LA, I'm sure there's communities and stuff like that, but it's just different. You know, I have a side note, I have a I call them LA Christians, you know what I'm saying? Like they're kind of saved.
They got, you know, saved, not
like,
all the way.
Like, it's like Jesus light, you know. But in this context, like you meet a lot of young people that love Jesus that are waging war on their sin, that are living God's ways and are getting married and enjoying building lives together. You know, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm not saying that as a way to say marriage and family has to be the apex of your life as a Christian.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I am saying that most of you fools are horny and most of you do want to get married. You just have the community and the access to meet someone that has the same values and or to provide and be in a financial situation to do that. You know what I mean?
A blessing to Ruslan has been there's an older generation at North Coast that pours into this next generation.
That's good.
Like Pof was saying, like, but we, like with our life groups, we have older people that are like, we want to lead young adult life groups this next. And so you have young adults that are going into a house. You have young adults that may be broken family, but now they're going into a volunteer. They volunteered, this couple volunteered to, now they're that example of, wow, this is what a marriage looks like. This is what this is what this can be.
Yeah.
You know? And that's been a beautiful thing, like that reaching back that the generation has done. And that's something that I've noticed in my time at North Coast with the Jordan is like there's just this it's bananas. It's just this generational like caring for each other.
Yeah.
It's really dope.
I think we have a pretty large serving culture as well. Mm. Like, you know, we've got 9+ campuses. Mm-hmm. And so all those campuses have young adult, you know, crews that help minister to the high school and junior high ministries. Uh-huh. And so there's so many opportunities to get involved. And that kind of involvement, that kind of invitation to community is also an invitation to accountability.
Yep. Yep.
And so like when you're in a weekly basis being seen by the same leader in those, you know, in the Fallbrook High School youth group, you know, we trust that that kind of sharpening that happens on a smaller scale is impacting the whole.
Yeah.
And so I love that we get to partner with all those different the youth groups. Yes. You know, the Jordan is a little bit of a talent farm for people who want to serve in the name of Jesus, the gospel, you know? And so that to me is something that is very special about how the way that the tendrils of the Jordan young adult ministry impacts the whole and it goes down and goes up. And so it's, you know, it's also a little bit of our test kitchen where we can try new ideas, try new things.
Is this going to work?
So let me bounce this off of you guys. Okay. A couple hundred years ago, if you were 18 to 25, you were probably married working on a farm.
Nearly dead.
Well, not, I don't know if it was that early. But you were probably married working on a farm, starting a family, right? And I would say this has been that way for most of history, right? Like, I don't know if this whole, like, average age that people get married in America is 28, right? Which is kind of crazy to think about it, right? Yeah. Now, I do think there's wisdom to saying, hey, finish high school, get a full-time job, finish college, maybe wait until you're 25 till your brain's fully developed, right? But there was a lot of these situations where, you know, marriages were arranged, and it's still like that in a lot of parts of the world with seemingly lower divorce rates. And I say seemingly because we don't know the cultural implications of divorce in places where there's arranged marriages.
Yeah.
But it seems like here, post-industrial revolution, post let's get kids into school, 18, you know, so 18, you know, so they're 18, and then send them, ship them off to college, and then rack them up with a bunch of student loan debt, and create worker bees that don't really think critically. You know, we don't. I think it was Henry Ford that said, like, I don't want a generation of thinkers. I want a generation of workers. You know, and how our entire system has kind of been built to, like, we need just cogs in a wheel. You know, and how much of that has again pushed out this like adolescence phase. Where, you know, 100 years ago, like, you were 18, you were a man. Like, you were a grown man.
Yeah.
And now you could be 28 living in your grandma's basement.
No driver's license.
No driver's license.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like, it's not, you know, you'd be gaming 30 hours a week, you know, and it's all fine. And again, and I'm saying, like, if that's what people want and that's their North Star, no judgment.
Dope. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But that's not what y'all want. That's not what you guys keep telling me you want. That's not what I'm hearing people want, right? And so it seems like there's this generational weird things that's happening that's very unique, and it's getting worse. Like, it's getting worse and worse. And what happens is these kids graduate college. They got 20, 30, 40, 50 grand in student loan debt, which, by the way, is never going away. You got to pay that off or you're just going to pay it forever,
yeah.
Right? They got a car note. And then they're like, oh man, I got to go get a job. And your first job is not going to be a great job. And they live in Southern California.
Sheesh.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like the deck's stacked against them in many ways, you know? And how do we address that? Like, I know I'm asking you guys, like, some of these are like macroeconomic
we'll
issues.
We'll solve it.
Some of these are like, they're so embedded into the zeitgeist of our culture. But, like, what do you guys make of all of this? Because it's just different. It's just different than, hot take, than I think we were biologically wired to be. I don't think we were biologically wired to, like, be celibate until we were 30. And, like, yay you. Like, I don't know. again, you can feel free to push back. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, man.
Fix it. Fix it. These are all the world's problems.
Yeah. I mean, electricity, like you brought up Henry Ford, you know, the idea of the compulsion to be productive. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we see in the book of Acts? You know, they're busy walking around telling people about Jesus, healing the sick. Mm-hmm. You know, they were productive and effective. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, where are we putting our energy? Mm-hmm. Like, how much time in our day has been wasted? Mm-hmm. You know, and are we good at the thing we want to be good at? Or are we good at, like, scrolling and looking at our phones? I mean, I'm a pro. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm really good.
Really good. At you're so a master of how to use Instagram.
So I think, like, when we... maybe instead of answering that question, you know, answering the big question of what went wrong, it's like, how is it for me as an individual? What are areas where I know I'm not as productive and as effective as I possibly could be? Mm-hmm. And especially as a Christian, am I effective in the kingdom? Am I making choices right now that are pushing the gospel forward? And am I a representation of that? Or am I just investing into something that's destructive for me?
That's good.
And so I think, like, to answer that question as an individual is like, you know, Lord, send revival, start with me. Mm-hmm. Like that idea of being compelled by the power of the gospel, being compelled by the grace that has been shown.
Yeah.
How can I be more effective?
Yeah.
And that there's no waste to that. Yep. You know, there's, and I believe financially it's a difficult time to exist, you know, as a person that, you know, the dollar doesn't do what it used to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to fix that, but I know what it looks like to be a Christian. I know what it looks like to be a disciple because I do have those answers.
Yeah.
I have those, you know, I have commands as well as calls that are on my life.
Yeah.
And when I do those, I know I'm effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's good.
So I'm not, you know, an economist.
Yeah.
But I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
It's good. What do you think?
And man, okay, so I don't want to, like, be super spiritual, y'all, but goodness gracious, like, everything has changed. Everything does change. Christ is unchanging.
Come on.
So it's like, it's you said we weren't wired to be this way. Mm-hmm. So now it's reintroducing people, creation, to the one that we were designed to walk hand in hand in the breeze of the garden with.
That's good.
Yeah. Like reconnecting there.
Productivity,
right?
Like, and rest,
yeah,
together.
Like, yeah. It's just different. It's like reintroducing people to a Jesus, to a gospel in the scriptures, mm-hmm. of a God who, when we made a mistake, he was pursuing us.
Yeah.
Like, and letting them know that that's a real God that meets us in these real places, mm-hmm. that are overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It is overwhelming to think about finances. I got 4 kids, 17, 16, 13, 10. All I got, I'm like, Lord, look, I got a little bit of savings and Jesus. Got a little bit of savings and Jesus.
Yeah.
But I mean, just, I think that's so important in this time, is to reintroduce people to the Christ of the scriptures that says, if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you grace. I'll give you my peace. Mm-hmm. Like introducing him, showing him that God, you know, like that, not to get super, but my goodness, people need to know Jesus. They need to know their creator.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
And I would agree.
Yeah.
But let me push back a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Get him.
I knew Jesus.
Yeah.
I made terrible decisions.
Me too.
I started cleaning up my life. I would go out and travel and meet people that love Jesus. They knew all the 5 points of Calvinism. Mm. They love the ESV Standard Version. They were super spiritual. Some of them were casting out demons. They were doing amazing things. And then we would have conversations, and I'm the guy that always, anything I do, I'm always hanging around. I'm always sticking around. I'm always meeting every single person, right? Yeah. I'm sticking around and meeting people, and I'm like, you guys know Jesus, you love Jesus, you proclaim Jesus, but when it comes to your day-to-day life, you're a mess. You're a freaking mess. You haven't dealt with your issues.
Yeah.
You're financially a complete derelict. You're inadvertently adding tension and stress to your family, your marriage, yourself, your body, and in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's a real talk.
You know what I mean? Like, in the name of Jesus. And so it's like, I think there's, and I don't know if it's like this Gnostic heresy that's crept into some of our thinking, where like you can compartmentalize your Jesus and think that your Jesus doesn't have to impact how you lead your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the tension that I'm like, as I go out and I meet people, I'm like, is it wild for me to think that like Christians shouldn't be just average Joes? You know what I mean? Like, we claim to have an encounter with the living God, yet oftentimes our lives don't look much different than the world's, you know?
Yeah.
And so like,
I think it can become an idol in itself. Ministry can become idolatry.
Yeah. Talk.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we reconcile that? Like, how do we reconcile the idea that, like, there's a whole book called Proverbs.
Yeah.
It's like very practical and about these things, you know? And yet there's still tends to be this disconnect and this compartmentalization in church culture.
Yeah.
You know?
But part of that for me in like my time with the Lord has been this idea of invitation and challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Jesus is an inviter. He, come follow me.
That's good.
But you're going to have to leave some things behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the idea of like, okay, what does it look like to follow Jesus, but also the challenge of denying myself and like maybe even highlighting that, like there's some denying, there's some death to self that has to happen.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. Like Jesus, it's easy to say, Jesus, you are my savior, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But is he the Lord of your life?
Come on.
That's where it's like,
woo.
Yeah, like good. It's easy to say, you die for me, I receive that, but you can't have control over this and that and that.
Yep.
So it's that constant, I know for myself, just for myself, it's the constant exercise of, dang, where is he not Lord?
Mm.
And real talk, when you get married, you realize, I have realized how selfish I am since I have been married, how self-centered I am, how I think about myself. But I have also seen the opportunity to be so much more like Christ to my wife.
Yep.
And look, she might be looking at this right now. Baby, I suck sometimes. You know it. I know it. But hallelujah, we're going after Jesus together.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so for me, like, just my citizenship is in heaven. That doesn't mean my character isn't under construction.
Come on.
You know, so like that idea is I belong to Jesus. I belong to the family of God.
Yep.
But sometimes I don't act right.
Yeah.
And so, but that doesn't change my identity. That doesn't change my citizenship in that story.
That's good.
And so I think we're in community and we understand that. We give each other that permission, you know, like just with my kids, you know, they don't lose privileges of the beds in the house that I provided for them if they don't pick up.
If they don't obey.
You know? So I try to instruct them, try to lead them towards making those decisions, but it doesn't change who they are to me.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Do you guys think there's unique challenges that men are facing in this climate? We were talking a little offline about Andrew Tate and you have young boys, 10 to 17, right?
Yeah.
What do you think some of the challenges young men are facing that maybe are unique to this generation?
They're on display a lot, you know, just as far as with social media, and there's so many opinions on what a man looks like, so readily available. I know some challenges that I have with my teenagers right now that I'll just talk about challenges that I've had, is being honest and emotionally vulnerable. It's not manly to cry. It's not manly to process my emotions, but it's manly to hit something, to throw something, to break something.
Which is actually very emotional.
Yeah, right? Right?
you can't use your words.
Come on.
But you can slam doors.
Yeah. It's goodness gracious.
You're more emotional, bud.
Yeah. You scary emotional right now.
Yep.
And that's been what I've had to learn, you know, through different avenues like therapy and different things like that.
Yes.
But also, like, I'm trying to teach my sons that. Like, it's okay to be vulnerable, guys. It's okay as a man to be scared and to work through verbiage for your emotions.
Yeah.
Like, helping them with that has been challenging.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's been a big challenge.
I think, go ahead.
So, I mean, so I sing and lead worship, so I don't necessarily have like the access to the masculinity that maybe most men have grown up. I've been leading worship, you know, and with David as, you know, not a total model because he, you know, the King David wasn't just a poet and king. He was also a murderer and, you know, and lusted after women. And so like that, you know, he wasn't my perfect role model, but he was somebody that I saw. It's like, well, you can write and sing songs and charge forward in battle, you know, like
so that worship and warrior. Amen.
So that the idea of that being a part of the package of what it looks like as a Christian male, it's like, man, sign me up. That's in the whole thing. Yeah. I want to do all of that.
Yeah. I think the tension that you're describing, the way my wife she gave me this and it was really good. And she said, there's a difference between being vulnerable and being intimate. And she said, when I'm making content, it's okay to be vulnerable, but being intimate is sharing about things that you might be going through in real time. And being intimate is reserved for a very specific selective group of people. And so I don't come on here and tell them about the fight I may have had with my wife, which me and my wife don't really fight like that. But that's a very intimate thing. I'm processing. I have a therapist for that. I got real people in my real life for those sorts of things. And it's a very close thing where I could be vulnerable and be like, guys, you know, I have these issues and with regards to the church because I was molested as a kid and yada, yada, yada. And I could be vulnerable and show my scars, but I'm not being intimate. You know, and I think that the tension there lies is, I think with young men, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they're told to be intimate, right? They're told to be intimate and they don't know how to practice stoicism. Because the truth is, you're not supposed to be intimate with everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're supposed to be transparent. This is who I am. I'm comfortable in my skin.
Yeah.
I have issues that God's working on me. This is where I'm at. But I'm not going to be intimate with everybody because the intimacy that your boys should have with you or my son should have with me is reserved for a very specific tight knit. And in those senses, learn how to use your words. Don't be slamming doors. Don't be throwing stuff. Don't be throwing tantrums. You need to work through that. Yet, I don't want him to be intimate with everybody. I don't want him to be vulnerable with everybody. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't want him to be intimate with everyone. Yeah. You know, so it's like this tension of helping men be the worshiper and the warrior, right? There were times where David was a warrior and he wasn't playing the harp. He was waging war on the enemies, right? And there was no time for reflection and thought and like, how does this make me feel? Like there wasn't time. And then there were times where he slowed down and Saul had the spirit that was demonizing him and David would come and play the harp and soothe the spirit, right? So I think it's like that tension of and both. And I think men should be more worshiping, right? Like I always roast guys who are like, they don't want to like raise their hands and worship, but like they wear jerseys of their favorite football player with another man's last name on their back. They get really excited about the NBA finals, but like you don't want to lift your hands during worship. Jesus, like that's backwards, bro. Like you're a freaking weirdo. Like what are you doing?
Jesus was crying in a garden,
right?
Come on. You
know, like Jesus wept. Like there is a time and a place. And so it's like, if you're so disconnected from being vulnerable in the presence of God, like what are we talking about, right? So I think it's like how and when to channel that vulnerability versus how and when do you need to be stoic?
Yeah.
Because I think it does not serve men well to be vulnerable in the wrong situations and stoic in the wrong. Men are stoic in worship and vulnerable with their buddies that they just met.
Yeah.
You know, vulnerable with the girl they just met that they think is their therapist that they're going to stay on the phone with until 3 a.m. Come morning on. And not talk to their father or their uncle or their brother.
Yeah.
You know? I think that idea of like, we've not been given a spirit of timidity, but self-control.
Come on.
Like that idea of like, it's you ought to be in control, you know, not stuff down, not insulate yourself from things, but to hold things in a measured reaction and take it to the Lord. And in the community, I love what you're talking about with the community, like your circle of trust, people that can be let in to your character as it's being chiseled and turned into, you know, a fine specimen of what a Christian male should look like.
I love that word chiseled, man. That's a word my therapist uses all the time.
Mm.
He talks about, imagine someone chiseling a statue and it's starting with just a piece of concrete and that is what God is trying to do to you. He's trying through the process of the Holy Spirit and sanctification, he's trying to chisel you into the man that he wants you to be. Chiseling is work, man.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, chiseling yourself, you know, into who God wants you to be. Go ahead. What do you?
No,
you look like you was gonna cut me off.
So. No, I wouldn't cut you off. I love that idea of being chiseled in with my sons. It's been a journey of creating those spaces for them to feel safe with their feelings.
Yep.
That's been hard. But then it for me it's been trying to figure out where do I land in their life now? Because when they're little, it's like they need you. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get older and it's like, where does my voice land in this world, in their world?
Yeah.
And what I'm finding, family, is that like it's been a blessing to persevere as a dad, to persevere through all of the noise in here about them and just persevere through it and speak to them.
Yeah.
Let them see parts of me that I may be ashamed of or I may be struggling with and let them know that it's okay. And I'm finding like that voice, it trumps everything else.
Yeah.
And that's bananas to me. Mm-hmm. Like that's been some of the newest like real time stuff that I've experienced in creating these vulnerable spaces with my son. And I'll say this too, Ruslan, you've been key in some of this.
Mm.
I've been sending my oldest son your videos, man. And it's been like, seriously, and it has been a gift and a blessing to see him watching your videos and your take on all of these.
Yeah.
All these things.
Yeah. Cause I just think like, man, they're going to get this stuff from the Andrew Tates, the Fresh and Fits. Like there is content that is made that is going to, I think, distort men's perception of reality. And if we as Christians and Christian men don't get ahead of that and don't speak into that and don't correct some of that, I don't think it's going to be good.
Well, I think, you know, there's lots of voices appealing to the human nature, which is, you know, above all wicked. And it's a deceit.
Yep.
And so I think in those things, it'll eventually lead to destruction. And so I love that there are voices, you know, that are you know, saying the truth.
Yeah.
That don't appeal to our human nature, but rather the God's call upon our life, the God nature that we have been designed for.
Yeah.
You know, for my family, I want my house to be a safe place because the world is wild. I want them to feel like this is home. This is safe.
Yeah.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Olive Garden. Here your family. You know, like. <That's and>
Well, you know, it's so interesting. So you said, I want my house and my home to be a safe space. And what's happening in the world? Your house is not a safe space. Right. We're going to keep information from parents that have their kids in public schools. And we're going to make the world a safe space. Ooh. And we're going to make your house something that, you know, you're not even entitled to know what your kids are doing now.
Yeah.
These are like real laws that are getting passed. Like Escondido School District, there's teachers at the Escondido School District that are suing the school district because they were told that when it comes to people's identity with regards to LGBTV, that's, I use code language here, they are told to lie to the parents about kids' orientation. This is middle school. So the public square, the school, is now the safe space, but the home is now removed and detached and kept out of that conversation with kids. So it's totally inverted. That's what the enemy does.
Yeah.
He takes it and he perverts it and he inverts it. And it's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's why this is important, right? Like there should be a time and a place where people can be vulnerable, and it's probably going to be much better suited within a healthy, stable family, or at the very least, some sort of church community. Say they don't have a healthy father in their life or a healthy mother in their life, or that new nuclear family. There has to be that. And a lot of times, for me, it was the church. Like I didn't have a home. Like I didn't have, like, my dad wasn't in my life. My mom was checked out. She was working a lot. So for me, it became the small group that I could be vulnerable at. You know, it became that. And so it's interesting how you said that, and we're seeing the total opposite of that. And there's lawsuits right now because of that. You know, I've never seen a time like this before where, like, parents aren't entitled to know what's going on with their kids.
That's wild.
I think, you know, that government will step in if the parents are you know, haven't earned that space, you know, because that law might be there.
Yeah.
But if my kids don't feel like they can bring that stuff to me, like, where did I go wrong at some point in this relationship?
Yep.
It's like, you gotta, it's okay to fail with me. Yeah. It's okay to be honest with me, you know, help me be that to you.
Yeah.
Help me be a safe spot. And so,
yeah.
I mean, you know, my daughter just turned 10, and like, I want to be the first call that she thinks of when she needs help.
Come on.
When she feels trapped or she feels like the walls are closing in.
Yeah.
I want to be the one that rescues her from that.
That's good.
So like for me, that's a joy to be that access point for her.
Yeah, that's dope. Question. What is one question about their faith or living out their faith or the Bible you're hearing a lot from young adults recently? That's a good question. What is one question you're hearing from young adults about the Bible, their faith, or living out their faith?
Ah, sheesh.
What do I do next?
That's good.
I think it's like a question of identity being wrapped up in how productive you are, of what your productivity is to the, you know, society around you. And so I think that question is like hot on the mind of a lot of people.
What do I do next?
Yeah, what do I do next?
Okay.
That's good.
And did I miss it? Like have I missed it? Is it a place? Because in their mind, they missed it. Like they should be at a particular place in life by now, but like helping to just reframe that has been good. But that's a big thing: is did I miss it? Did I miss God? Or I thought I heard God say this, and this is happening. Like, did I miss God? That's a big thing.
What do I do next? And did I miss it? Did I miss it? So, funny story. I spoke at your guys' singles conference.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And which was a hoot. I'm going to put you guys on blast a little bit, but it's okay because you rewarded me with sushi. You guys hosted a conference. You had me out. And you told me to speak on...
Singleness and your sexuality, right?
He's just and a I'm like, softball.
Just an easy thing.
Softball.
I'm like,
bro.
Why are they easy. Giving me this topic?
Easy.
Why are they giving me this topic, right? Now, I put together a talk. And you guys didn't tell me that I was supposed to do the same talk twice. And so
that's real.
I finished the talk. I'm thinking we're done. Like, I'm like, oh, Pulver's going to come up here, do some worship. We're done. And so I'm doing Q&A. I'm hanging out. And then I'm there. And then there's more people showing up. My group is still here. There's more people showing up. So then Pofo runs up to me and he's like, hey, man, just so you know, like, these folks came to hang out with you too. And I was like, cool. Like, there must be a lot of Ruslan YouTube watchers. They just came to hang out with me. So I just start like, you guys want to do some Q&A? Awesome. Like, I'm thinking everybody's there. You guys want to do some Q&A? You guys want to hang out? At this point, I think I had 45 minutes to do the talk. At this point, like, it's time is just slipping. And it's like 30 minutes left, 25 minutes left. And then at some point, I'm like, do you guys want to do a Q&A with me? Or like, do you want me to give the talk I just gave? And they're like, yeah.
We all know.
I said, you know, raise your hand if you want to do the talk. So they all raise their hands and do the same talk again. Long story short, you guys didn't tell me I was supposed to do the same talk twice. That's I didn't know that. There was two sessions.
That's our bad.
And I thought we were done.
That's our bad. We're getting better.
But here's the beautiful part is that that talk is the talk that I've been able to repackage and add to.
Come on.
That I've since been able to do at Harvest's Young Adults, Greg Laurie's Young Adults Ministry. I've been able to do, I'm doing it at Daniel Golding's Young Adult Ministry in Rock Point.
Yeah.
I'm doing it on Father's Day, and I might be turning it into a book.
Come on, man.
Hey, so yeah. You got two times at it that night.
I got two times at it that night. And here's the thing. Had I not probably done it the second time, I would not have seen how much of a felt need that is.
Yeah.
Specifically to what you're talking about. Like, did I miss it and what is next?
Yeah.
Right? And figuring out that, like, oh, wait a minute. This is actually a strong, like, overlap of where a lot of the zeitgeist is. With single people and what do they do and how do they do it and what do they do with their sexuality and all these different things, and the my position of giving the talk from a place of vulnerability and not strength, from a place of don't learn from my scars, don't do what I did, you know what I mean? So anyway, I wanted to give you guys your flowers because
amen, brother.
You might have inspired, you might have literally given me the topic of the book I'm going to be putting out. And I was like, I wanted to write a book, but I didn't know what I wanted to write a book about. And like, it, you know,
that's awesome.
Doing that talk with you guys was actually put me on the path to have like that talk of like the circuit. You
that's
know what
awesome,
I mean?
Man. You know? Look at the Lord working all things so, for like, the good.
With that, with those questions, what do I do next? And did I miss it? And like what you're talking about. I think the world is so wild right now, man. It feels like multiple choice, but the questions of the cross and the questions of Jesus, those are true and false.
Yeah.
And so that's like the idea of, does Jesus love you?
Yeah.
True. Does he love you more than you love yourself? True. Does he know everything about you? True.
Yeah.
And so I think these ideas that people are struggling with feel so wide and vast.
Yeah.
But if that identity question isn't answered first, the true or false one,
on.
It's like, don't keep going on that other stuff.
Yeah.
Spend time understanding how you're seen by God.
It's good.
And that's what I tell folks.
Yeah. Question, should we be rethinking the also popular gift of singleness, societal delay of marriage for young hormonal Christians? I think so. That's just my opinion. I think just because I just don't think folks are naturally wired. Most people, not all people, but most people, I just don't think they're naturally wired to just be single into their 30s.
Yeah, I agree. I got married young. I was 23, wife 21. And yeah, it marked me wanting to be married, marked a desire to pursue Christ. Mm-hmm. In a different way, as far as like, I just want to kind of honor him with my life now, and this is how I do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think it's worth rethinking. Because I think it's worth rethinking.
Yeah, you know, Paul is the famous like non-married Christian that we have in the New Testament, and like the, you know. what a purposeful singleness he had. And
yeah,
like we even have like some of his live commentary inside of the scriptures of what, why it's good to get married, but that's, he himself was like, I'm not going to, because it's a distraction from the ministry that mm-hmm. I feel like I'm called to. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is like that on purposeness.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that could be a gift to the whole entire church body to mm-hmm. say somebody that singularly focused on the purpose of Jesus. Cause I mean, it is, it's lovely work being married, but it definitely is an all consuming thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I think the tough part is that not everybody is Paul.
Yeah.
Right. Like Paul was Paul, but Peter did have a wife. Yeah. And even the idea of priests not being able to get married, that was like 1,000 years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ain't that crazy? Like the idea in the Catholic Church that it was post the Great Schism of 1050 that they even introduced this doctrine that priests should not be married, right? So that's a big gap. And so, you know, Paul writes about Peter having a wife and traveling with her, and some of the other apostles had wives. So I think what you're saying is good. And I think some people are definitely called to that. I just go, the majority of these folks want to get married and have sex. They try to smash, bro. They try to smash. So yes, I think we should rethink it, but I don't think you should obsess and make marriage an idol either.
Yes, yes.
Because that's not healthy for the people that aren't yet getting married.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
If everything is like the pastor and the wife and the pastor's family, and that's all the young people are being fed, like that's, how do you honor God in that hard in-between time?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. This is a heavy one. This is a heavy one from Jeremy Owen. This is a heavy one. He says, where do you go if you're closer to 30 and haven't gotten married and don't want to go to an older group? What community do you fit in? It's heavy.
Yeah.
I think the follow-up that is, have you tried a community where, and you felt like you've been disappointed? Mm. I think I said this earlier while we were talking about young adults in crisis, the idea of our ministry, mm-hmm. there's opportunity to serve. Mm. And that is a great access point into community. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, I'm older than our targeted age group, mm-hmm. but I serve it mm-hmm. and I'm encouraged and enriched by it. Mm-hmm. And I am also, those people that are younger than me, they're teaching me stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. They're teaching me how to be generous and kind and open and that's like, good. You know, welcoming, where I feel like I was, because of my generation removed, I was raised to have the answers. Mm. And this one's teaching me to listen.
That's good.
You know, and so I love being a part of a younger community, but in our context, you can if you are serving it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just because you're serving something doesn't mean you can't receive from it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's good.
And I mean, I would just give a little pushback as well in the idea of like that older community and what that looks like. Cause sometimes I think we just have a predetermined thought process about, or as believers, like we want to chase that past Christian experience. Mm-hmm. Like I was killing it as a 25-year-old mm-hmm. or the worship was great here. Mm-hmm. But I would just encourage you, I think Jeremy, to be brave and step into that next space, whatever that may be available at your church, at your community, man. I just want to just encourage you to be brave and step into that space and see what God would do in that space as you go forward and keep trusting him as you are getting older. Yeah, I would just encourage you in that, man.
How can they find you if they want to check out the J?
Man, the Jordan Young Adults, that's our Instagram.
Yep.
TheJordan.com, you go there. We got events, all that good stuff.
If you're in the area, we're in North County, San Diego,
Vista,
California at North Coast Church, Thursday night, 7:30. We got something for you.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thank you so much for hanging out. If you enjoyed this stream, you want to continue helping us make content like this, keeping us independent, answering only to you, Nobody else, never having to take a brand deal and make goofy commercials like these. Consider partnering with us online.
Our friends at Genucel Skincare have exciting news to celebrate in 2023.
Using Manscaped during my showers after workout has given me much more confidence.
And that's where Mudwater comes in.
True Classic has got your back.
All thanks to the sponsor of today's video, SayMine.com.
Established Titles is your opportunity to earn the title of Laird, or Lady. Objective credit approval rates range from 7.99% APR to 19.99% APR, included 0.50% auto pay discount.
If you don't want us to make ads with brands you don't care about, sign up for our online community for as little as $5 a month to keep us independent and ultimately answering to you as our boss. You get all sorts of benefits like daily replays of our after party streams, exclusive access to our Discord community, and early access to our podcast interviews, all starting for only $5 a month.
Kingstream Entertainment.